Blog Talk Radio. Today is Monday, September 12, 2022, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Happy Monday, and welcome to my place in space and cyber radio. I'm glad to have you here, glad you tuned in, and glad you were curious enough to check it out. Thank you. Well, this is a Master Your Mindset Monday. It's the show that a great many things are discussed and pondered, examined, and we present some change and challenges to how we think and do things, all for the good, of course, all for the betterment of our human selves and the way we do think. Sometimes it really needs a check. It's a good thing, though, to always allow ourselves to be growing and stretching. That's why I do it, for sure. Well, today I'm going to be taking a look at a very interesting subject matter, something that is very familiar to some. And if it's not the life you live, it's certainly something you come in contact with on a regular basis, and that's professionalism. It's a word we hear real often. We talk about how professional somebody is, how professional she is, or how professional he is, or how somebody handled something particularly so professionally. So we know what we are talking about in terms of professionalism. But I wanted to talk about it today for a few reasons, and I do want to remind y'all, I don't just jump out here like jumping in the ocean and expect to drown. I have a very strong background in HR and corporate training, and so when the opportunity presents itself or I get the inspiration or inclination to present something for whatever purpose or reason, I do typically know what suggestions to make and, you know, wisdom to offer as far as that goes. So we're going to be talking about professionalism today. What is it? What does it mean? And why does it even matter in the whole scheme of things? Well, it really does. And one of the things that popped into my mind about it is that I know, like a lot of you, because I've had that feedback, are coming in contact with situations and individuals where we may have experienced a lack of professionalism on one level or another. Sometimes it can be that interactions are loosely structured, and maybe some people just don't know or have not been trained in their interactions and service to others. I'm really not exactly sure. I just know that more commonly I'm coming in contact with it. And I just see this as an opportunity to do some sharing. And I hope that you will literally do some sharing by sharing this program if you feel that there were some great takeaways that can be applied in some individual lives or business places. But right now, as we take a look at a lot of things on the internet, we do see a lot of loose structure about ideas and concepts that, you know, we just tend to snatch them like, you know, they are the absolute truth in how you handle people and how you handle things. And in some cases, that's true. But in a lot of other cases, it's not. Professionalism is not necessarily a do your own thing how you want to do it. When it comes to dealing with people. And I have to admit, I'm real old school when it comes to this whole concept. But trust me in this, it works. When you know how to do this right, it works for you. It's very beneficial. It's very profitable for you in a lot of ways. And so you might want to grab a pen and a pad and jot down some notes as I go through some of the things, again, that I'd like to suggest that can be helpful in your daily life and work. Professionalism is a discipline. It's a set of skill sets. It's your actions. It's your interactions. It's your approach to life and business and people. It's how you handle yourself in certain settings. And it's something that is learned in most cases. We're not born with professionalism. We acquire it either in our environment or we get trained in it, or we're, again, placed in situations where we can access it and learn from others. It's taught. It's a practice. So keep that in mind if you feel like you're wanting to level up on this particular skill set, if you're wanting to even go up from wherever you are. It's, again, skill sets that can be very helpful to you in that way. It's something that you can absolutely learn how to do, how to use, and how to put into practice. It has a lot of advantages. As I mentioned, it adds polish to how you do things. You know, we show up for stuff, and when I say show up, whether it's at work or a meeting or whatever the case may be, what career you're in, where gatherings take place, or you may have your own just individual responsibility about showing up, but you can show up and shine, and that's what professionalism does for us. It causes us to shine, and often shine brighter than most people because we, again, have acquired the art and the skill sets that go along with it. People look at how we do things and how we carry ourselves and how we interact. And there, as I said, and as I'll be talking through this, there are ways that you can not just show up, but you can show up and shine using these particular tools. Professionalism is a power tool. So keep that in mind. It makes you more attractive personality-wise. It makes you more attractive presence-wise. And how is that? Well, again, because people notice. If you stop right now and think about people that you admire or hold in esteem, people that you recognize have that certain something or that it factor about them, you will recognize that there is this professionalism aspect of how they are handling themselves. And I'm talking about a certain culture and arena because not everybody is in business or in work environments where there are certain things that have to be handled a certain way. But even in other arenas where the day-to-day interactions are not at this kind of level, you can be sure that whatever they are doing, it somehow comes into play. It's how a lot of people become successful. It's how a lot of people become very, very successful because they grasp onto this tool and what it means toward gaining favor and gaining success. It's good in the aspect that it can give you leverage and advantage in situations as well. Again, people are paying attention to you and how you do what you do. And they find themselves more eager and more willing and ready to deal with you when you come across in a way that is more professional. It's something about being professional that appears to people to be a quality type of individual. It's something that says to them that you can be trusted, you're trustworthy. Not that that's always true, but that's the appearance that it gives we want to work on making sure that that is always true. What you're presenting is a trusted demeanor and a trustworthy dealing. It's trustworthy dealing with you. So it gives you that advantage. It shows people that you are at a certain level in the way that you think, in the way that you want to do things in regard to them. It tends to make you have a more likable type of appeal. You know, I know some of you are asking probably why. Well, my thing is, once you learn it, you'll understand why. You know, sometimes we wonder the reason why people are not so engaging with us, or tend to standoffish attitude, or why you can't get the door open in a certain place, or why certain people aren't taking your call. Well, it may very well be because of this whole professionalism concept. There's a way. There's a way to make doors open. There's a way to get that person to call you back by how you handle the presentation of yourself, the proposal of yourself, the desire to engage with you. And a lot of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because we get these emails from LinkedIn and other people on Facebook asking, you know, to quote unquote engage on some type of level, business or personal, or whatever. And so we see very clearly where it can come in, you know, come into our understanding as a way to present ourselves, is probably the best way for me to say that. What are some of the keys to professionalism? Well, there's some easy ones. You've probably heard it said a lot, dress to impress. That's an age-old cliche, dress to impress. Well, we think of that very often as, you know, dressing to the nines, or just really, you know, really dressing up. My thought and theory on that is, don't dress to unimpress. It may be, you know, you may not have to dress like that to be impressive, but don't dress to unimpress, for sure. And I know now there is a different culture in the workplace where things have changed. It all started, if I remember correctly, it started way back when they started casual Fridays. And then they, you know, a lot of the codes changed, and it was, you know, casual / professional in a way that you could show up at work. That whole casual thing came in too strong, if you ask me, as far as casual, because what I saw showing up at work, I just didn't think was work appropriate. And you know, some people literally looked like they rolled out of bed and came to work, and it just, it just did not to me appear to be suitable for the workplace. Dressing business casual or professional casual, you should still look a certain kind of way, and it shouldn't look like what you look like if you're going out to, you know, do lawn work or your gardening or whatever. That's casual wear, but that's not professional casual or business casual. And so we have to be pretty careful about how we dress in as far as professionalism is concerned. And then, you know, just speaking directly to workplace business situations. I can remember many decades ago when I first started entering the workplace, the first job I got was in a highly professional business. I mean, there were dress codes in place then that were nothing like what they are today, total ends of the opposite ends of the spectrum. But one day I wore a party dress to work, unawares that wouldn't fly. Right now, when I think back about it, that dress would be totally okay in a lot of workplaces. But then it was just so not the right thing to wear. Not that it was revealing or anything like that. It's just that that's not how we dressed for the workplace back then. As I said, right now, there probably wouldn't even be a double take on it. But at that point, it was totally, totally inappropriate for the environment that I was working in. So I want y'all to understand exactly where I'm coming from with that. There is a way, based on the culture of your business or the workplace that you are in, that there is an appropriate way that you show up. And a lot of people, it may mean that your wardrobe is really calculated. And by that, I mean you like have these particular dresses and these particular skirts and this particular combination of things, and these are the things that I wear to work. It really does make a difference. I want to share a little short story. I was training management at a particular place where I worked, and we were talking about similar things on the level that I'm speaking to you about today. And there was a manager who had a new employee who came to work dressing in a very provocative way. Now, he did not use specific language. He just painted that particular aspect of it for the class and for me. And he said that he felt, as her boss and her manager, part of what his job was is mentoring his people as well as far as professionalism in the workplace. Well, there had been a lot of comments made about how she looked and how she dressed from both women and men. And he decided that he needed to speak with her. And so he took her aside, had a meeting with her to discuss on a very professional level her attire. She had enough regard for the way that he handled it and the way he explained the perceptions that she was giving that she decided, at his suggestion, that she would readjust her attire, and she did. The awesome thing about it is that a few weeks later, told her boss that she was in awe of the different responses that she got from men and women in regard to her being in the workplace, the level of respect that she had gained just by changing that. And she was truly grateful that he had taken the time and the care and concern to talk to her about it. Now, I said all that to say that there really is something that our attire says, and it's up to us to determine if that's what we wanted to say, if it's giving the right message, if it's making us feel like the professional that we want to be. I don't have a problem with sexy dress, sassy dress. So, I think you do it at whatever level makes you feel really good about yourself in the appropriate types of situations. Or if you decide to do it at work, you know that's how you do you. It's all right with everybody else and your boss. I mean, you know, I guess I'm not talking to you today, but there are a whole bunch of other folks who, again, want to get this so that it's them presenting themselves in the best aspects, in the best light. And again, you know, we use that term leveling up so much, but truly, truly how you are showing up, and particularly it may be in how you show up in your attire, may be a critical part of all of that. You'll have to do the observation and the judgment to determine if that is so. What you say and how you say it is also important. And does that mean you got to watch your mouth all day? Well, it might. If you're at work, you know, it doesn't always, you know, you can't always be, again, as loosely structured in how you talk to people as you would if you were in your home or, you know, with your buddies or whatever the case may be. You really do have to pay attention to what you say and how you say it. I got fired one time for just a one-liner that I said to my boss. And, you know, I tend to come across very direct. And it may, you know, what I said might have had a little stink on it, too. It got me fired. And it got me fired quickly. It was determined that I was being insubordinate in what I said. Well, was that in truth the case? No, it wasn't really. But based on this mean old boss that I had and his perception of what I said, I lost my job. And so what I am saying in regard to that, I could have said what I said a different way. I could have used some different languaging. I could have used some more explanation. I could have handled it quite differently. However, that wasn't a day that I was putting my best foot forward. I just could have, you know, put my foot in my mouth. It just didn't work out. So I am saying and suggesting to you that if where you are, who you're dealing with, if it has enough of priority to you, you need to be where you are with those people at that job, at that meeting, at that table, then, yeah, it definitely does pay to watch what you say and how you say it. And so my best suggestion is to proceed with careful thought about it and with careful words and a mindfulness about the interactions and a mindfulness about the reaction to what it is you're saying or going to say or talk about. And you find that the more you practice this, you give a lot of forethought to that. And in general, things will tend to work out in your favor. Now, there are also some things that distract from you being taken seriously. And sometimes that can be just a slack in how you are showing up, you know, if you're not engaging, paying attention, not being involved at the level that you should be. So be very careful about that, because some things definitely can distract from you being taken seriously. And, you know, people are quick to say, well, you know, that person is so unprofessional, you know, because of these things. So, yeah, keep that part in mind. Your professionalism is your knowing and understanding of how you should present yourself in situations. That's what all of that is that I just talked about to say. And to remember, you know, I'm talking about some specific things, but there's more than one way to say and spell professionalism, depending on who you are, what you do. So keep that in mind. And just, you know, try as I talk to make it applicable to whatever environment or work situation, again, or whatever table you're at. Just try your best to try to make it applicable. It's not, it's professionalism is one of those things. It can be spoken. People will make you understand what their expectations are, but there are also a lot of unspoken things. There are day-to-day things where you will learn how to read between the lines. You will actually, you'll be able to see by observation what the expectations are. And to remember, I think, something that's critical, because right now there's this, you know, this need to self-express. There's this need to self-identify in life. And I am wholeheartedly on the side of that. But again, there are certain environments and tables, situations, workplaces, and all of that where you will realize that it just makes sense to make adjustments in how you feel about that, and understand that it really isn't not a challenge to your self-expression or self-identity. Sometimes it just makes more sense to make an adjustment because it does make sense, and because it makes dollars and cents. So, again, take that for what I've said, apply it to whatever environments or tables that you may be at, and use it, you know, to your best power. I think back about back in the day, well, it wasn't real back a couple of decades. For some of you, that's back in the day. There was dress codes, particularly, I remember, at banks. Everybody had on the same type of uniform when they were at work. And I remember when it changed, and I remember particularly the day I walked in and it had changed, and I was like, whoa, because some people weren't getting it right about the change and what they could wear to work. There's a reason for uniformity. There's a reason that a lot of companies, I mean, UPS, post office, other places where you see that they have a uniformity, it's because it looks professional. It looks clean and neat. And so, you know, take that too for whatever meaning it, because basically when we leave here and we're doing stuff, we're gearing up the same way. We're putting on our uniform, quote unquote uniform, to engage a certain type of way. And so make it look like that. Make it look like you're doing business. Make it look like you're a professional. Make it look like you've got it together. Ask yourself when you do that, ask yourself this: if I were to meet the person who could advance my career right now or advance my dreams, do I look like that? Would matter to them? I know that's a good question. Or if I were to meet the person who will invest money in my business and take me to another level, do I look like they would want to do that? Good question, huh? If I really want to be at the table with so-and-so and so-and-so, you know, those, you know, the higher level people who we know can advance us, is this how I should present myself, my ideas? Answer that question for yourself. And if it's not, you know, shaking out that way, think about a lot of things I said. Read some books. Get some training on all of it. It's out there. It's out there. When I speak, do I sound like I'm prepared to talk to them? Like I know what I'm talking about? Like I did my homework to be there? Talk about my dream, my job, dream job, my career, my advancement, your money, their money. People have a certain expectation. Professionalism plays a very powerful key in all of it. Does your body language look confident? You know, that it's interesting, but we noticed when a person carries themselves with confidence. We can look at a picture and we just think, you know, how confident somebody looks. Imagine that's you standing in front of somebody, talking to somebody, sitting in front of somebody, and you have that presence of confidence. It's worth learning. It's worth developing. Is my eye contact good? Does it look like I'm listening? Does it look like I'm paying attention or understanding or engaging? Those are important things. And sometimes people have a problem being able to look people eye to eye or have a conversation where they're, you know, you may look away, but you're still looking back at them to talk. Again, it's a skill. It's a skill for some. It's easier for some than others, but it's a skill. And it takes practice. It's something I had to teach myself many years ago, because I was extremely, extremely shy. And so I taught myself in the mirror to look at myself And then every opportunity I had to talk to somebody to look at them. And over and over and over and over time, it's very natural for me to do that. So, again, these are skills, these are actions, these are things that you can acquire that will give you the advantage in so many situations, both business and personal. So here's a few do's and don'ts, too. Kind of going over some of what I said. Do choose appropriateness with your dress and speech. And remember that you can't go in every situation just, again, with loosely structured ideas, loosely structured about you didn't think about who you were going to see and how you should have shown up. Before you do any of that, ask yourself about showing up correct. You heard that term, it's pretty old, come correct. You definitely want to work on what it means to come correct in these professional engagements and settings. I'm telling you, it matters. You will so much see and learn that you will gain the upper hand, that you will gain the respect, that you will gain that deal, that you will get that interest, that you will get that proposal approved. I promise you this works. Choose preparedness. Your lack of preparation or your laziness of preparation will always show. To be ready. You made the effort to be ready for whatever the situation is, even if it's only showing up at your day-to-day job. You know, we often will take our drive time to listen to music. I want to suggest that preparedness for work is not always the easiest thing or day-to-day, because you may be coming out and trying to get your kids to school and a lack of organization from your morning just didn't go right at home, any number of things. I had some really good mentoring on this. And it was with that first job that I just told you about, where I showed up in the party dress one day. The career counselor at my high school told me the things that I'm telling you. When you leave home, you shut the door completely on whatever was going on. You don't take any of it to work with you. This is what he told me. And he said, you're not going into an environment where that's your family or your friends. You're there to do a job. You're there to work. And so it just makes sense that you understand that, he told me most people at work can do anything about what was going on at home anyway. You know, most people don't care. They may want to take what you're saying and just, gossip about it. But preparing yourself means on the way having some self-talk about that, trying to chill, reel yourself back in, taking some deep breaths. If you listen to some good music where it's soothing, I think that's always helpful, or a nice motivational talk. There are some things that I don't go a day without listening to, not a day, if I can help it, every day. That make a difference in the way that I present myself on a personal level and on a professional level. I don't even want to go without them. They make a difference in what my engagement is going to be throughout the day. It doesn't make the things that are coming at me go perfect, but it certainly makes for me being able to respond in a whole other level. And that's the important part. So prepare yourself for what you're going into. Don't have an expectation that things on the opposite side of you, are going to adjust to you. They may, depending on how you respond to it, how you engage with it. Again, professionalism has that power to it. It's a power tool. It can do amazing things. But maintaining your sense of professionalism, your sense of self-discipline is what I'm talking about. So try to go into the day, into the work, into whatever it is you're going into with the greatest amount of preparedness that you can control. Choosing appropriate languaging. As I told you, I said some stuff that, you know, well, it was a one-liner, probably like six words that got me fired. So choose to use the right languaging and expression and explanation and things, even in the most tense and delicate situations. And again, this takes practice. Some of it you might have to learn the hard way. I really did honestly know better, but I didn't think it was going to cause me to lose my job. So you know what they say, when you know better, you do better. It's not likely I would ever handle that. But as I said, I had a mean old boss who was always just trying to put his foot on my neck. It was just awful. And so I responded the way I did. And, you know, I didn't even feel bad leaving, honestly, at that point. But, it, you know, financially, it wasn't the thing that needed to happen at that time. So be careful about the languaging. I want to always keep it so that I'm not creating any additional clapback or negative responses. That's what you want to keep in mind. Now, not to say that there are not times where things have to be addressed a certain kind of a way. That should have been my choice, is to talk to him outside of the environment that we were in a private setting. What I said in front of a lot of people, and to explain how I felt about how he was handling me would have been a better situation and probably with a better resolve. So just be careful about that. Choose appropriate languaging and responses, even in tense and delicate situations. Learn by watching and observing. You know, we like and admire a lot of people and how they handle themselves. You know, I think about Michelle Obama. I think about Oprah Winfrey. I think about a lot of the TV talent that we see, you know, because we see how well they handle themselves in front of a camera, for instance, or people that we see speak, or even people in meetings and at work, how we see how gently or how much diplomacy they have and with people. And so observe those things and don't just say, I wish I was like that. I want to be like that. Practice being like that. Put it into practice. And even depending on the relationship, ask them to share some skill sets with you that can be helpful and with you and handling yourself a certain kind of way. Think excellence as a standard for how you conduct yourself in business and personal matters. Think excellence. You know the difference between an A and an F. You know the difference between doing something really, really good or falling on your face. And so what this means is putting forth the excellence effort, the A game, I call it, to as a standard for yourself. Always bringing your best self, always bringing your A game to work and to, again, the table or whatever settings you might be a part of. Think win-win. You're doing or saying, or is your presence bringing that win-win? Is it making you look like a winner? Is it creating engagement that's going to be winning? Ask yourself that. And again, these are things that can be taken and should be taken under prior consideration so that when you are actually in the situations, it becomes so automatic. It becomes so usual. This is usually how you handle yourself. Or, you know, that you have such a great understanding of it that you can call upon the skills and the right thing to do at the right time. And remember, in all of these scenarios that I've told you about, that there are norms already set You're not there to change them or challenge them. Following protocols and procedures and rules and people expecting a certain type of decorum from you is the norm. And, you know, when you understand, again, professionalism at its highest level, it's okay with you, totally okay with you, because it's not a challenge to who you are. It is who you are. So keep that in mind. Everywhere there's going to be a norm. Everywhere there's going to be a norm. Following, again, protocols, procedures, rules, the expectation of you showing up at your as your best self, that's just the way it is. And when we don't always get what they want, what we want, because they don't always get what they want, and they show that to us in some ways that are not always good or pleasant. People will replace you. They will make it known that you're not good fit or whatever the case may be. And it may be short-term, it may be long-term. But remember, there are norms, and it's okay. Once you understand these concepts, it's okay to operate in that dynamic with them. A couple of don'ts. Don't try to fake knowledge. You know, sometimes we don't want to appear like we don't know something that's being talked about to us or you know, in a conversation, a professional conversation. I was on a phone call recently, calling to check on some my mammogram and my bone density exams. And I was talking to a young lady that I had been transferred to and asking a couple questions about things, and she said, let me pull your information up, and she did, and she started talking back to me about it and all of that, and I said, well, you know, I would really like to know a little bit more about that bone density. I would like to know some more about it. And she said, okay, well, then this is the number you need to call for that. I said, what? Who am I talking to? Aren't you the nurse? And she said, no, I just schedule appointments. And I just outright told her, I said, young lady, you should never sit on the phone for 5 or 10 minutes with somebody acting like you're explaining something that you know what you're talking about, because you should have let me go 5 or 10 minutes ago knowing and listening to the questions that I had. So don't try to fake knowledge. I think it made her feel a little bit some kind of way that what she had – some little or minor knowledge about what she was saying, but in that environment, she should have never been trying to address any of my concerns. And that happens more often than a lot of us realize. All of a sudden, they say, well, let me transfer you to so-and-so. Or, and you're like, what in the whole world was I just doing for the last 15, 20 minutes on the phone with this person? So don't try to fake knowledge. You look more professional if you say, let me transfer you to, you know, this other department. They handle that particular area of what you're wanting to know. I've had that happen a lot of times and appreciated it. It saved me a lot of time and effort. Particularly, you don't want to lie. you know, there's this theory that says under-promise, over-perform, and that's the best way to be, because a lot of times we deal with people. I've had it happen a lot with my car, over-promising and underperforming. Spend too much money with people saying, oh, yeah, I know it. I know exactly what the problem is, and I know a lot of you are probably nodding your heads as far as mechanics go. But there are other areas of business where that is the case as well, and so be careful about that. It's always better to say, I need to examine that, or let me get some more information for you, or whatever the case may be, than making promises that you can't follow through on. Particularly, you don't want to drop the ball in situations, leaving stuff undone, unattended, and unfixed. You have to recognize the priority was something. I've had people tell me that they didn't address some things because I had, you know, I had to go do so-and-so, and I had to do such-and-such, and I'm like, but no, you were getting paid to do this. Could you have not called me to tell me you weren't going to do it, or you couldn't get to it, or whatever the case may be, something, because I was depending on you to have this right now. So be careful about that. There are just unnumbered situations where don't drop the ball fits. Don't drop the ball. This other one, don't be a backstabber. I don't know if that even needs any explanation. Don't backstab. It makes you look bad, causes bleeding. And I'm telling you, it's just a poor thing to be doing. I've had it happen to me. I've had it happen in unbelievable places. And without any, you know, I can't hardly get it out because I'm still so shocked by some of it. It's just a bad quality. And some people think it's okay. Just don't. Be a professional. You can't handle something somebody else is doing. If it's something that you wish you had done or whatever, just go try to be it. Don't be envious, jealous, hating, all of that. There is very likely nothing that anybody else is doing that you can't somehow acquire or come up to that level. But don't backstab. Don't cheat because it's fast and easy. You know, again, we want the quick thing. And it's cheating if you can't really make it happen the way that it should happen. People dealing with us on professional levels are expecting things to be done in a very professional way. So don't try to cheat the process. Don't try to cheat the system. Don't try to cheat the natural way that things should be ordered. Do it right and do it well. Back the wrong motives, poor behavior, and ethics will produce a good outcome. Don't expect the wrong motives, poor behavior, and ethics will produce a good outcome. They do not. So you want to be sure that you are coming out of the gates with good and right motives about whatever it is you're approaching at work with other people, other professionals. You want to be sure, again, some of the things that I talked about behaviors and actions are you're leveling up with that. And again, my best suggestion is to get mentored on it. These are things that you will take into life and work that will always benefit you. I promise you that. So if you know someone that can mentor you, someone that can really teach you on a regular basis how to make this work, by all means, reach out to them because you will never regret it. Ethics are so important. You know, doing the right thing because it is the right thing. Having certain standards for doing things, it works for you people. And I know I'm preaching to the choir with some of y'all, but just let it be maybe a reminder or a stimulus. Maybe what you've heard today, you know now that you should maybe mentor someone with it who could use the help in some of the areas that I've talked about today. But by all means, just keep this in mind as I wrap this up, that professionalism truly is a very powerful tool. And if you use it well, and use it wisely. So I am hoping that you got some good takeaways with all of that. I sure feel like I enjoyed that sharing with you. You know, I enjoy Master Your Mindset because of what I really believe it brings to you. And for some of you, this would have been new news. Some of it would have been old news, that, you know, again, just awaken some things that you need to be reminded of. For some of you, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going all in now. I'm doing that, and because there's some things I want, some people I want to see, and some places I want to go. And I know that what I heard today is going to help me do that. So take those takeaways and, again, use them to your best advantage. And I want to thank you for taking the time to be with me today to listen in. I want to remind you that I have some books available, Stay in the Ring and What is Faith that are on Amazon. If you search those, be sure you put Silver Ray Fox in the search bar, and those should come up. I have a website that's silverrayfox.com, and there are several pages of information there where you can learn more about what I do. And what I just did today is something that I do professionally. I'm actually working on a program, a signature program, that I am really expecting will roll out at the beginning of the year, that will be available to purchase for workplaces. I will be back in just a couple of days, actually, with a Hollywood filmmaker who's doing some real unique work that I think you'll find very fascinating. So I hope you'll join me again on Wednesday, same time, space on Wednesday. So with all of that being said, you know I wish you a wonderful, powerful, special day. Be good, be blessed, and be awesome.